What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 466 of the Action Movie Guys podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and my co-host is
Alex Figueroa.
And we are once again joined for the second straight episode and the second of a number of appearances by one of our interns. You know him, you love him. He's Evan. Evan, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
There he is. And he's going to be joining us for this episode where we are talking about some old comic serials, old properties from, like, these things are dirt old, and we're going to be doing the movies, like the modern movies that are based off of these. And I think all of them, three of them are from the 90s. One of them is from the 80s. The first one is from 1990. It's a little movie called Dick Tracy. Now, before I get into my little, you know, I like to do just a couple of fun facts and things like that. Before I do, what I want to know, because I'm going to share mine. I almost shared it off air, but I'm going to do it here. What is your experience with Dick Tracy? One, I know we've all seen it. Did you see this in the theaters? Did you watch it a lot growing up? Anything like that? Evan, you first.
I was 7, had a Dick Tracy birthday party, and then went to go see the movie. So whoa. I had the plates, I had the thing, I had all the toys, I had the car, I had the hat, I had the toy watch. So I was literally
you're all in.
You are full of dick.
Let's say that.
Relax. You love Dick Tracy.
I love Tracy.
There you go. You can't say you love the dick.
Is it a movie that you revisit over the years?
I revisited as a kid. It has been a couple of years, I think, probably the last time I saw it was probably about 17 or 18 years old.
Wow. Well, this podcast is known to ruin childhood. So we're going to find out how this is going to go for you. Alex, same question. Did you see this when you were younger in the theater, or did you only see it as an adult?
I never got to see these movies in the 90s in the theater. I got to see Dick Tracy on TV. From what I remember, I enjoyed it. Then I brought the Blu-ray and I told my wife, because she never saw it. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I like this movie a lot. I was like, I love this movie. I was like, you got to watch it. So we watched it. She gave me the stupid face. Like, what the hell you made me see?
She didn't like it.
She didn't like it. And I was into it. I was like, man, this movie still holds up. And I love it. And then we watched it again. With the action movie guys.
Okay. Interesting. And listen, I can't wait to talk about this movie.
Yeah.
Okay. My experience, Dick Tracy. I was 3 when this movie came out.
Oh, snap.
Now, I know for a fact I saw this at the theater, but I only remember like snippets of things, right? Because you're that young, you don't really remember much of anything. But how I really know this movie is from one of my Disney VHS tapes. This had a trailer for Dick Tracy on it. I have seen that trailer at least a million times. We're talking about when me and my sister used to wear these tapes out. So we'd watch the same movies like 400 times a year. And so like the I want more, that's in the trailer. And it's like this crazy drum beat. Like it's a different music. Also the part where it's like, everywhere I turn, it's Tracy. Like certain lines, when I hear them in the movie, I'm like, that's from the trailer. That's from the trailer. That's from the trailer. The part with the kid. What's your name? He's like, kid. I'm like, what? Kid. That's from the trailer. So my most experience is that trailer. I've only seen the movie in full as an adult twice. So I saw it a few years ago. I want to say maybe 9 years ago. And then now for this. So I won't say I have huge, I do have a little nostalgia, but only for the trailer, not for the whole movie. So this is always interesting to revisit. And again, when we do this show, we have fallen in love with things we thought we hated, and we've come to be critical of things we liked. And sometimes we just feel the same way. Like, I liked this when I was 12 and I like it now. So we're going to find out how this goes, especially for Evan, because he had a whole birthday party of Dick Tracy. Before we do, let's go to some fun facts really quick and then Rotten Tomato scores. Now, this movie's crazy. The making of this movie is almost as interesting as the movie itself. I'm not going to go all into it because we don't have, 2 hours. But what I will say is someone needs to put out a disc of this with like a full-on making documentary about the making of process. Now, of course, this movie got bounced around a million times. Like it went studio to studio. It was with Universal for a little while. It was with Paramount for a little while. Eventually ended up at Touchstone, which is Disney. Disney owned Touchstone Pictures. It was sort of their like, we're not necessarily putting the Disney label on it. So here, we'll put it to Touchstone. They tried, Warren Beatty had a concept for this movie in 1975, but it didn't actually get made until 1990. When he was able to, he ended up buying the film rights. And I think he still has the rights, but they're going into public domain in the next couple of years here. So he will lose the rights. Steven Spielberg at one point was offered the director's chair. John Landis was offered the director's chair. Clint Eastwood was offered the role of Dick Tracy at one point and was attached to it for a while. Like he was like up until almost when they made it, he was like going to be Dick Tracy. So it bounced around. Eventually, Walter Hill was attached to direct. He wanted to make it an R-rated, like he always does, gritty movie. Warren Beatty was like, no, that's not what I want. It's got to be like the old cartoons. So he ended up directing it himself. Other people attached to the role, Harrison Ford, Richard Gere, Tom Selleck, Mel Gibson, all at some point were in talks to play Dick Tracy. Also, this is a fun one too. The money, the budget for this movie was supposed to be $25 million. Anything over, Disney made a deal where anything over was supposed to come out of Warren Beatty's cut, basically. It ultimately ended up costing $46.5 million plus another $48.1 million in advertising and publicity and 5.8 in prints, meaning they actually spent $101 million on the movie, which makes the $165 million box office, or 162, slightly less impressive. It was considered a hit at the time, but when everything's considered, it didn't make a ton of money. However, and this will be the last one, this is a rare for this, for our show. This was nominated for 7 Academy Awards. 7! It won 3, I think, like costumes, best music, song,
I think
it best was, song, yeah. Costumes, and like set, like production design stuff, which Pacino was nominated for best supporting actor for his role in this movie, which we're going to talk about. And last but not least, there was a bunch of other actresses that they actually wanted for the role of Breathless before it went to Madonna. And the only reason she ended up getting cast is because they could afford her at the time because she was a singer and not a big, you know, well-known actress. Sharon Stone apparently auditioned for it and they turned her down. They tried to get Kathleen Turner. They tried to get Michelle Pfeiffer. They ended up turning it down.
Can see Sharon Stone.
Wasn't she dating Warren Beatty at the time too?
Madonna, they started dating when they started making the movie.
Oh, okay.
And that became a whole thing as well. So this, like the background of the movie is as interesting as when you're watching the movie.
And they're supposedly, with the Disney Touchstone thing, it gets very confusing because I remember as a kid, mine saying Disney. I only had Disney. And then there's other people say, mine only says Touchstone. And supposedly like the Disney, like it was Disney's name on it and stuff. Like it's crazy. And supposedly theaters had different brandings on it too. But it's kind of one of those myths.
Yeah, the trailer I remember was on a Disney VHS. Yes,
it had a Disney logo. Yes.
Like on a kids movie. Also, who did they pay to get this rated PG? But we'll talk about that when we get to the movie. They paid off somebody because PG-13 existed in 1990. And this got nipples and people getting shot from close range. And interesting choice. I would not show a kid this. I'm just going to say that. I would not show a little kid this. But they took me to see it. And it made me the man I am. You're stealing my thunder there. So... you could go more into it when we get to it now. Really quick, Rotten Tomato scores, 63% for the critics, 53% for the audiences. So it's just over 50, but it's not fresh for audiences. It's just over 60, and it is fresh for the critics. But I don't know. I don't know why I feel like it's low for the audience and high for the critics. To me, when I think of this movie... And then you find out, you know, it was nominated for 7 Oscars. Do you think these numbers are surprising at all, Evan?
I think the issue is Dick Tracy, for a while, when Rotten Tomatoes came around, was not a popular DVD. It didn't come out when it was. So I think that maybe with some of these low scores, some people were writing it off of their memories more than being exposed to it. And because I don't remember... I remember the VHS, and I remember the Blu-ray. And I just bought the Blu-ray. So I bought the Blu-ray for this. Yeah. But I don't think it's been a movie that's just been available everywhere throughout the years to get maybe the nostalgia of the generation that grew up with it.
True. Alex, numbers, interesting?
Not really. Not really. I mean, I can say maybe the audience, I'm a little shocked. But I don't know, again, if these reviews are coming from later down the road than prior from 1990.
Right.
But 5360, that's fine. I can't see nothing that's crazy.
All right. Well, I'm excited to talk about this. We're going to go first to Birthday Dick Tracy himself. Evan, what did you think of our lead character, Dick Tracy? What did you, Warren Beatty? I'll save it. Warren Beatty as Dick Tracy. Take it away.
I'm okay. I don't know what to say. I gave him a 3. I'm going to start there just because, I mean, he's cool looking. I love the yellow. I love the yellow black. I love the watch. I love everything about it. But do we actually get to know Dick Tracy, or do we just get to know what people say about Dick Tracy? Like, I don't feel like Dick Tracy doesn't seem to be a good, what is he, a boyfriend to this girl? Like, he just runs off. He's just so important. He does this, but he's also possibly cheating on her because he kind of like, is he a good person? I don't know. He just breaks the rules just because, and I feel like he's breaking the rules not to help in the situation. But is he Dick Tracy? And does he look cool? And does Warren Beatty like match that kind of like what I, you know, watched in the cartoons and stuff? I would say, yeah. So kind of like the both, but I don't know. I went with a 3, and maybe my scores might be a little bit higher because of my childhood, but I'm
trying the 3 to be is realistic. Higher. Oh, okay.
I should probably for a hero, our hero sucks. Like, he should be a 2. Because, like, if you think about it, like, what good qualities does he have? I don't think he has any. He breaks all the rules. He's just doing what he's doing. He's no better than the villain we're seeing. So I don't think he's that. Okay, maybe I'll change it on the spot. He's a 2. I'm changing it.
Yeah, I've done that plenty of times. Don't worry about it. I changed my score a couple weeks ago. All right, a 2. Okay, well, interesting. Alex, what do you think?
I'm going to tell you this right now. This is not going to go the way everyone thinks it's going to go.
Uh-oh.
I gave it a flat 2. I agree with Evan. First of all, Dick Tracy, you get nothing. It's just a detective in this movie. Like, you, it's a weird, it, first of all, this movie's weird as is. So it's a very, I don't even know how to explain it because with this guy. He finds a kid in the, well, not find a kid in the street. He chases down this kid in the street called Kid. He goes, hey, kid, you got to get the watch back and whatever. And then he finds this guy in his shack, and they're fighting in his shack, and then takes this kid to a restaurant and eats up the whole place. Then he has this girlfriend that he keeps leaving every 2 seconds to go to work, which I'm like, okay, great. Then he has his friends that are in his job, right? And I guess he's like the big head detective, and everyone knows he's famous. But there's like nobody else in this city except for Tracy and bad guys, because I don't see no one else in his restaurant. You see no one else walking down the street when Dick Tracy is walking down the street. I'm like, how many people is in this city in wherever they at? In terms of his, like, I agree with Evan. He's not a hero. He's like more of an anti-hero, like, to me. Like, he breaks through. He's like a Punisher of the noir, if you want to look at it.
He's like Batman.
He is Batman.
He's got a badge.
If you're so right. He is Bruce Wayne. I don't think he's Batman. I think he's more Bruce Wayne, like the guy in within the. I don't know. He's
punches.
Batman.
Bruce Wayne don't really punch nobody. So
yeah,
in that regard, that's what I mean.
I mean, like, I know what you're saying. But it does look like Gotham City, and you do got Danny Elfman playing the score. So it does look like a Batman movie at the end of the day. But look, honestly, the character, I don't like him. I think he sucks ass. I think the problem with Dick Tracy himself, I think Warren Beatty should have just stood behind the camera and got someone else to play Dick Tracy. It looked like he was playing both roles. Like, there's some people that are naturally gifted that could play in front of the camera while being behind the camera. Clint Eastwood could play in front of the camera, behind the camera. Stallone could play in front of the camera, behind the camera. Warren Beatty, I didn't feel like he could do both. I felt like he was more concentrating on the camera work on certain scenes than when he's on the screen. I didn't feel it from this guy. And I'm going to be honest. I like Dick Tracy as a character, like Evan. I grew up with the cartoons. I think he's a cool character. But this movie, I didn't like Dick Tracy. Like, I was not. I mean, I was rooting for him in the movie because that's what it's making you do. But at the end, I'm just like, eh. Whatever. Just felt off. Something was off about Dick Tracy with me. But anyway, with that said, I give it a 2.
All right. So. I forgot to mention, too, Martin Scorsese almost directed this movie, and that version would have been definitely R. And
probably it would have been a real mafia movie.
Are you sure? When we got to the overall, I don't know about that.
Okay. You know what? I hear you guys. I'm going to go ahead and take your guys' score, and I'm going to add them together because I gave him a 4.
Wow.
I disagree with many of your points, and I agree with some of your points. But that isn't that the fun of watching movies? I mean, where I'm gonna 1,000,000% agree is Warren Beatty should not have cast Warren Beatty as Dick Tracy. Yeah. I think he was a little too old for the role personally. He's already like in his 50s when he did this movie. Someone a little younger, even like late 30s, early 40s, would have been better. Some of those names that came up, like Mel Gibson, and you got to remember this is 1990 Mel Gibson, not now Mel Gibson, I think could have been a more interesting choice.
Bruce Willis would have been a good one.
Bruce Willis, he has the charisma.
The noir feel. He has that voice as a noir.
Warren Beatty's a very specific actor. He's a great actor in some things, but like I don't know if this was the best role. As far as the character, though, I like him. I mean, he is a cop. So he has a badge. He works outside of the law a bit, but he still does work within the confines. He's not like going crazy. He can't just bring in Big Boy and like, you know, he still has to try to get him on something. They still follow the kind of basic law enforcement things. I think I love his interactions with the criminals when he's like mumbles, when he's interrogating him and all that kind of stuff. Like that scene is hilarious. And I'm going to disagree. I never felt like he was cheating on Tess. Breathless was really... trying his but first I game. Really I like she yeah she was trying but I love the scene where he's like, you know, when she's like, if you know, tell me you want it all or whatever, he's like, I can't do that because if I do, I'm gonna break someone's heart. And he was loyal at the end of the day, and she's like, whatever, he's like, I love her, that's my girl, and he saved the girl at the end. So no, I do disagree there. I don't love the I don't like the kid character of like kid. I never have. I didn't like him in the trailer when I was a kid. I didn't like it when I watched it 5 years ago. I didn't like him now. But I think I think it's a good portrayal. I don't really have the same issues as you guys. Yeah, I like him. And he punches a bunch of people. You know, he's out here, he's punching people. For this pulpy kind of what they're going for, I think it works. So worked for me, didn't work as well for you guys. Love it. All right, let's get to our main villain here. Now, you have like the kind of, you know, side villain. Yeah, and you have Flat Top and your prune face and that guy who looks like a skeleton. But Big Boy Caprice, played by Al Pacino, Oscar nominated Al Pacino. And then, of course, ultimately, Breathless Mahoney as well, played by Madonna. Alex, you get to go first this time. What did you think?
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I was confused. I was confused. In terms of the Breathless character, I was like, what the hell are we? And the thing that confused me the most, it was in and out. Like showed up in this scene and helps Dick Tracy. And I mean, you kind of figured it out towards the end that is her. But still, it was just one of those like in and out characters. I did like Al Pacino, but he didn't do much. He was just, again, it's weird because this is a noir movie and it's trying to go with the old school cartoon and trying to do this old school mafia thing, which I'm not a fan of mafia movies. So like for me, this stuff is like blah. I'm just like, I'm not into that whole thing. But I kind of like the cartoonish part of it. Like I love the colors. I don't know why. I love each of them looked weird and different. Like the cartoon, like I like Flat Top. That was my dude with the Tommy gun. He's like,
William Forsythe, baby.
Yeah, he was great. I like Mumbles. Yeah. I like Prune Face. Yeah. I like my man Lips. They were kind of sucking on the clams.
That's so gross. It's so
gross. He looked like my man was allergic to clams, but he kept eating it. Like, I like those characters, but in a nutshell, I'm going to put them all together because honestly, this is an ensemble. This whole movie, everyone is gunning for Dick Tracy and they all shoot at each other in this movie. So it's not like it was only Al Pacino going after. I mean, you have my man.
It's like a turf war at the beginning.
Yes.
Then one of them kind of gains control. Yeah. Breathless ultimately is trying to gain control.
Over. I give it a 4. I think they were great. And like I said, I liked them all. I think, you know, it's funny. Like one thing I will say, if they decide to try to redo a Dick Tracy movie again, don't kill off all the main characters, evil villains, because they killed off almost all of them at the end of the scene.
Dies in the first, like, yeah, the Lips second
dies
season.
In 2 seconds, and then you got my man William Forsythe dies in like at the end. I mean, almost all of them die. I mean, I get it's a movie, but my thing is like I could see Dick Tracy more with these villains as a TV show. Like, I think this could work better as a TV, like a Dick Tracy live action TV show with these characters. Have a one episode with, you know, when it was that William Forsythe and the other guy that went and like, you know, no more Dick Tracy. And he's like laughing the whole time. Like, stuff like that I kind of like. But the villains to me were memorable. I'll say this before I pass it, I'll pass the torch to Evan. I think to me, the villains were memorable to me more than Dick Tracy. Like, I know more the Dick Tracy, more the bad guy lines than the Dick Tracy lines. I'm like, Al Pacino hand the shit up when he was slapping the chick's butt cheeks when he was singing the Morse.
By the way, that guy you're talking about, his name is Itchy.
Itchy, yes, because he kept going like this the whole time. He's like, him. Like, that dude was funny. But, like, again, Al Pacino was great. I love when he was giving them the dancing thing and it reminded me of the Birdcage with Robert Williams. Remember when he was there anymore? Flores dance, Madonna, Madonna. Those scenes are funny. But Al Pacino was pretty fun. So I give it a 4 across the board for villains.
Nice. All right. Evan. Here we go. Evan, what did you
think? I'm so glad that you lumped them all because that's what I did. I mean, the fact that you saw Flat Top in his makeup and how they did, like, all the characters and how they did the makeup. I personally, when you said that if they made it today, I would be afraid that it's not going to look as good because I don't know how they made it look that good. But I don't think even that Flat Top getting, like, he walked around, I never once thought that wasn't him. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just what it is. Prune face. That guy's prune face. The cartoonish of the makeup, I think, led for us to just get lost in that world. And they're over the top. I did give it a 4, and that almost was a 5, but there's one scene that Al Pacino yells like he has one tone throughout the whole movie, right? He's just yelling at you. But that scene when he figures out the coffee is spilling, and he does that... like that thing, holy cow, that pisses me off. I get so annoyed at that scene. Like, I get literally irritated. So I took a point off because of that. But I thought as an action, and not action, main, all the villains, the flaw that I put in for Dick Tracy, I think works for the villains more. But they're all going for it. It's over the top. I'm not trying to like them. And they're just that crazy, like when he just slams the fingers on the piano guy. Like,
Yankees.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I love the names. How do you not enjoy the names? Like, 88 Keys, he's playing pianos. I mean, it's just so
That's
simple.
My boy, Indigo Montoya from Princess Bride. Yeah. Mandy Patinkin. I agree with both of you guys. I landed on a 4 for the villains as well. What I was going to say, and I'll keep it short. Al Pacino getting nominated for an Oscar for this role is one of the most insane things I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, yes.
I think his performance is all he does is scream and yell. Now, does it work in the movie? Sure. Is that an Oscar-worthy performance? No, not in any way, shape, or form. I think it's a horrible nomination, and I think he got it because he's Al Pacino, and, you know, this movie got a bunch. He's almost bad, but in a way... I feel like he was like, you know what? I know what kind of movie I'm in. I'm just going to scream and yell. And it does lead to some funny parts. Especially at the end when he's with Tess and they're going in the wine cellar and they're running and they're going down the tunnel. And he's like, now they're trying to say I kidnapped you, but I didn't kidnap you, but I'm kidnapping you now. And he's like, I don't want to hit you, but don't make me. And like all the lines he's saying when they're doing it, hilarious. Breathless. I like the plan as far as like her kind of scheme to try and become the ultimate, but I don't understand. The only thing I don't like about her whole thing is like how much she like falls in love with Dick Tracy based off nothing. He literally like shows up and she's like, that's it. Like totally in love. And I wish she was more diabolical in a way, more like cold. That little bit, it makes it weird for me, but I agree with everything else you guys said. Also, my brother's never seen this movie. He walked in when I was watching it and Littleface was on screen. He's like, what is this? And I was like, that's Littleface. And he just started laughing so hard. And I was like, this is Dick Tracy. He's like, oh. But for whatever reason, just that little face on that big like head. It's amazing. And this movie kind of walked so that Sin City could run later. Yes. I feel like, especially with the makeup. You think of what they did for Marv. Mickey Rourke in Sin City.
Yeah, he looked great.
A lot of people said, you can't make this guy in a movie because the way he looks and the makeup for him is great. And I feel like here, this did it first where the makeup was like how they looked in drawing. You know what I mean? And these are kind of outlandish characters. I think they pulled it off, especially for 1990. The makeup is great.
Well, what you said is, I mean, it's actually true. If you really look at it, they had over close to 10 to 15 different cartoon characters to bring to life. And they looked exactly like the characters. I mean, maybe they altered it here a bit to give it that realism. But other than that, when you see them on screen and you're a hardcore Dick Tracy fan, you're going, shit, that's Flat Top. Like, he literally looked like Evan said, prune face, looks like. And then mumbles when he's like, with his lip curled to the side, like the cartoon.
You're just even like, the old man who, like, the kid lives with, he got like crazy makeup. There's a couple of the cops. There's a guy with a long nose. Like, they kind of made all these people look like cartoon
strips.
Characters. Like the strips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think they nailed it. But I agree with you guys. There's a lot of villains. They're a lot of fun. They're entertaining. They do a lot of damage. They kill people. They shoot people. They kidnap. They do crime. That's what you want, right? You want them to do crime. You want criminals to do crimes. Okay, let's talk about action. Interested to see where we go here. Ooh, Evan, what did you think?
Well, I'm glad you pointed out Sin City connection because I was afraid that I was going to be the only one making the connection, but this is where I was making it. I thought the action style and the camera work that Warren Beatty was doing, which I thought was kind of weak with some of his cuts and stuff, but I thought when it came to the action part of the movies, that's where it thrived. And I thought that over the top, that whatever, I get exactly what I want. Like, if I'm going, does the action match the tone of this movie? I think it does. I gave it a 4. I thought I'm getting whatever. And I really gave it a, I took off a point because there's a point in the movie where James Caan, his character's going down to the car and he blows up. Like, how did they know he was going to leave the meeting and to put the car bomb in? Like, to me, I'm like going, how do you, I could be my adult. I was like going, wait, how do you do that? Like, go ahead, let him leave. He already put the call bar in.
No, because remember when he said, oh, I am out, Itchy was leaving right behind him. And Al Pacino went like this. He nodded and then he locked the door first. And then the guy was just like, oh, I'm out. And then that's when he left. And he was like,
okay, then it's a 5. Then I'll give it a 5. Really big. That's my complaint. But like, literally, my favorite scene, and because I just remember as a kid, when he chases the kid into the
train,
the little shack.
Oh, yeah, the shack.
To the shack. And then he's going like that. What? I mean, how cool is that? I mean, just imagine a 7-year-old kid seeing that and that over-the-top action. You're like going, this is what movies are made for, right? Yeah. And I feel as an adult, that magic for this movie was still there. The other parts, I think, is not there. But for the action scenes, it's just good old fun. I loved it. So I'm giving it a 5 because Itchy is going down and planting the car bomb. So good job. Yeah.
There you go. All right. Alex, what'd you think?
So this was tricky in terms of action. It's very tricky, right? Because you have that corny bomb sequence when they tie him up on the chair and the steam is going off. And I was like, this is really cornball. Like, to me,
that's for kids, it feels
very
like, right?
Kids. Yeah. Because I was just like, this is very cartoon. Like the thing is popping and the steam is going, ooh. And he's like, come on, kid, get out of there. And he's not even trying to get out, which is kind of funny. He just stood there like, like, I'm getting out anyway. But I didn't like that scene. I didn't like that bomb when they took him captured and they put him there. I didn't like that. But what I will say is Warren Beatty, okay, as a director, I liked where he took the stylize of the film. Like, he was trying to make it as a strip. I give him a lot of credit for that. I don't think he's a good action director. Like, I don't know. To me, I think if it was another action director, the scenes would have looked very more polishy. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean? I did enjoy it for what it was. I did like it a lot. There's a lot of bullets flying in this movie. And that's where I'm going to give a lot of my credits to, because that ending sequence, when they're all about to leave the garage, and yeah. my man has the Tommy gun. He was like, give me the gun. And it busts out, and my man is just I don't know how many rounds a Tommy gun has, but he's just wailing into every car that comes out of that garage and killing all the main villains. I thought it was the highlight of the movie. I thought it was pretty cool. Some stuff I was just like, Nate's word superhero, because he was just standing in the middle and they're shooting back at him with Tommy guns. He didn't even get hit once.
Not even hiding.
He was just standing in the middle of a street. And I'm like, bro, he's not even getting, not even, and what's crazy was, and this is what I mean about him as a director. Like, it was close up, so it's like his right there, not a little bit wide, and not even getting bullets hitting like at least a little bit of the cars or the floor in front of him. He was like literally like a force field is around the guy, and he's just like da, 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 da. And I was like, but then there was the cool shot when the thing blew up behind him and he started walking in front. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, that's a cool thing.
It's a great shot.
And I was like, wow, that's cool. Then you got the other stuff, which I kind of like, when he was punching people out, when he was like, when they got the information from the ceiling, from the, what was it called? The lantern or the chandelier. And they're going to every bust and you see him punching people, throwing them out the window. And I was like, whoa, Dick Tracy is hardcore. So I give it a 5. I went with the 5 on this because I agree with Evan where I enjoyed it a lot. I think the ending is ass, but I think the ending was weak.
The thing with the...
with the clock?
Yeah.
Very weak. It's a very weak ending.
This is...
I give it a 5.
A 5. Okay, 2 5s. This is crazy. I gave it a 3.
Just the opposite of whatever we're doing.
This is nuts. It's been a while since this has happened. I mean, it's happened before, but it's been a while. I don't disagree with what you guys are saying. For me, the only good action scene is the one where they're leaving when they're escaping the thing. Mm. And Big Boy's like, you know, wait till I honk the horn. And he's like, go ahead, honk the horn. They honk the horn. They start driving out. And then like someone's driving and whoever's in the passenger shooting the machine gun. And then they're all shooting the machine guns. The shot of the car exploding behind Warren Beatty is awesome. Like it's legitimately great. I'm like, this is the best part of the whole movie right now. And then another car explodes at some point. And you know, we're 90s, baby. So it's real explosions, not CGI explosions. Loved it. Other than that, the steam part, I agree, Alex. It's for like kids. It's for like 5-year-olds. Not very thrilling. And you also just get him going, you know, like doing these exaggerated punches. I will say in the finale, I do like the scene where he's piecing up Big Boy and it's just like a shadow. Like you see the shadow? That had to be someone else, not him. Like they had to get like, we're going to get a boxer or something to throw some real cool looking punches. But other than that, I mean, what do we got? A couple of montages of him punching people and throwing them out the window and shooting. People are getting shot in the stomach. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how this movie got away with a PG, but whatever. Not that thrilling for me. Only that one scene. That was the only part. And that got the whole 3 because the rest of it is very basic. I see where you guys are coming from, but it didn't work the same way. So he worked for me and y'all hated him. You guys love the action?
Well, I will say this, though. In terms of the punching sequences, I totally understand that he was trying to go with that comic book strip punches. Because his punches are so
they're outrageous.
Yeah, he looked like... And then there was one part that if you pause it, it does look like a comic book strip. Like him punching him. So I was like, I give it kudos. But I agree. It reminded me of Batman Forever when he's fighting the dudes with the green guns.
And anytime you compare something to Batman Forever, no, not Batman Forever.
You could do
Robin
if you want.
You could do Batman and Robin.
Or Adam West Batman. You could do those. And it feels like that era, like they were trying to go for. Yes. And again, it could go good, it could go bad. But
I agree.
Well, and what it really has for it sticks with that style throughout the movie. That's what does it. It doesn't switch between where, like, if you watch some of these movies, like they go, oh, look at us do some cartoonists, and then the main one looks a little bit more real and put together because that's where they spent their money. Like, but we got the same tone of action, I felt, of fighting throughout.
Yeah, I agree. I think he executed what he wanted to do, like the way he wanted to do it. Did I love it? Not all of it. Just that one part. Yeah. But I agree with you. Like, as far as executing a vision, I think he did a great job doing that. Okay, here we go. This is going to be this is the meat and the potatoes of a movie, usually. Storyline. Mm. Alex, you get to go first on this one.
Well, sorry to be the bearer of bad news. I did not like the story in this movie. I'm going to be honest. I was not bored, but I was mostly confused. It was a lot of confusion for me when it came to Madonna's character, because I felt like that storyline wasn't told as well. I felt like it needed a little bit. Something was missing in that with her character. Because you're right. She just saw him and they were in love. Yeah. Then she left her earring and he found her earring. And then they should do the stupid foreshadow look in her ear camera shot. But doesn't amount to nothing. Just him going, oh, she could have been at the scene of the crime. Right? But again, for me, I don't know. I just felt like I was not as gripped, I guess you want to say, like, into the story. Because even the Al Pacino thing, I know he wants to, he took over Lips' spot. He wants to kill Dick Tracy. Great. But after that, what is the grand plan of the thing? Like, what is, okay, you take over all this, but it's nothing. Yep. You know what I mean?
That's it. Make
money.
It.
Yeah. So, yeah. Whereas for a TV show, certain storylines could work like that. But for a movie, you have to have a bigger plan. That's not a bigger plan. You're not telling me, okay, you're going to take over this city and then that's it. Like that's it. And then to throw in Madonna and the secret guy with the no face. And then that throws too much. It's just too much to even sit down and enjoy this type of noir movie. It didn't feel noir having Madonna's character interfering all this shit. That's just me. Like, I felt like it didn't feel that noirish for me. I was just like, I don't like that stuff. Like, it just didn't work for me. With that said, I gave it a 2. I was going to give it a 1, but I gave it a 2 because I was just like, I like the interactions with certain characters. Like when Dick Tracy is with the bad guys and they know him. And he's like, hey, you can't put me behind bars, nigga. And then he's like, shut up and go in your room. Like, get this guy out of here. I'll talk to Mumbles. And I was like, that's cool. But as a whole, I don't like the main plot. I hated Madonna's no face guy in the movie. It threw off everything. So I gave it a 2. I was just like, eh.
Interesting. So, Evan, what do you think?
I agree. Like, I think the way I was, I don't know why. Why does, Al Pacino's character want to take over Lips? Like what was the driving factor of it? Like, what broke that relationship? All of a sudden, Lips is being arrested, and then is in a, don't put me in the bath, you know? Like, what? Not the why? Bath. Not, and we're like, it's so confusing. And then the kid? Like, what's the point of the kid? Room. Like, we have pieces of a story. We don't have a story. That's how I felt through it.
Yes.
So I ended up with a 2. So since Alex and I gave it a 2, we know Nate is going to give it a 5.
He's going to be like,
the whole thing.
He's going to be like, I agree with you guys a little bit. But I saw this movie a little bit different. I kind of like Dick Tracy more in this movie.
This is the best storyline ever in a movie.
I can't wait for this.
Yeah, I don't know what movie you guys were watching, but I'm just kidding. No, I'm only a point higher than you guys. I gave it a 3. I think there's a lot of stuff that doesn't work for me. I do like mafia movies, mob movies, things like that. I don't need as much to know, like, why he's crossed. Like, Lips is not a main character, so it doesn't really. He's like a throwaway guy. It's fine. You know what I mean?
But I think in the cartoon, he is a big guy. That's why I was like a little confused.
I'm sure a lot of people have more screen time. I mean, the movie's only an hour and 45 minutes. Well, so it's like, we can only do so much. That's where I think you're onto something as far as if it was a show. Again, something being, serials as it is, which is essentially like a long, running sort of thing. This could really work as a show. I think you're right. But for the movie we got, I think the story's fine. I agree. I don't like the kid. I said that earlier. That whole subplot, I guess it's supposed to make him feel more like, because here's the weird thing about Dick Tracy, like in the story, he's almost like he's old, but it's almost supposed to be something that's supposed to help like mature him a little bit, being responsible. There's this kid, and which I think that's why I say if he was a little younger, I think that might have played better. But since he's not, that whole kid subplot, I don't like. I really like the stuff with him and Tess. I do. Mm. I like their dynamic. And I like, what's her name? Glenn, whatever, the lady who plays. I always liked her as an actress.
Era.
Yes. Yeah, she's great. And I like the mafia stuff. I was cool with Breathless. Like, I think the thing is weird where, like, the voice, whatever that is. The voice, it's bizarre. Modulator. It's bizarre. But I like the whole, you know, I like the whole, she's maneuver, you know, she's treated as this object and by these men, and she's trying to, like, kind of go up and become, I like it. I like it. But it is, it can get a little confusing at times. I agree. But yeah, all the characters, again, they're fun. That's all part of the storyline. I like them. I don't love them though. So I gave it a 3. Like, you know, I think there's some big flaws in the storytelling, more so than any other aspect for me in the movie. So, okay. 3, 2, 2. Overall, Evan, what do you think of this movie now that you had a birthday party for it and now that you're a man? How do you now feel?
You want another birthday party?
I want to know what my parents thought when they were watching the movie. And that they were watching it with a whole bunch of 7-year-olds because it's rated PG. Yep. And I truly believe, I didn't know about Touchstone. This was a Disney movie. I didn't know that about later that this was a thing. To my knowledge, this was always the Disney movie. So I don't want to know if Touchstone was ever a part of it. And I think that kind of was the stamp of approval. It's PG, parents, and then boom. But like, I forgot about it. I forgot about it. I almost had my son watch it with me. I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't. Like, she comes out and all of a sudden I like text my wife. I'm seeing Madonna's boobs right now. And
in this PG movie.
In this PG movie, and she's talking about her black underwear. Yeah. Why is this at all in this movie? Like, so, but what I did love about it was all the actors. They all came out. You have Kathy Bates, you have Dustin Hoffman, you have like everyone from the 90s. It was so fun to watch. Sometimes they're just the background character. Like Kathy Bates is in this, what? Catherine O'Hara.
Who is everyone? Catherine O'Hara. Who's she?
Catherine O'Hara played the chick. She was a her name was Texie Garcia. She's a criminal. She's one of the female criminals in the movie that, like, Big Boy is like taken over or whatever.
Oh, man,
it's not even a big part. But
that's what I'm saying.
These are a bunch of them.
I know
in,
Kathy
like,
Bates is the one that mumbles, is talking, and she's like, "What the hell?"
She's
is he
the
saying?
Stenographer.
Yeah.
That was
the funny. Fact that Dustin Hoffman did. You like this is just like one of those movies. Like you think that Warren Beatty's friends say, "Let's just do this."
Alex, do you remember the scene? Do you remember the scene where they're all at the table? That's the scene she's in.
Okay.
Yeah, she's one of the mob people, James Caan and all them.
Yeah. And the fact that James Caan's in this and like he didn't even come back for Godfather Part 2, but he's willing to do Dick Tracy. Like what and for this role? Like what the heck? So I had fun with it. It has some major issues. I'm not gonna show it to my kids. I don't know how it got a PG in 1990. I'm like going. And like when she lays across the table, like on his desk. I'm like going, holy cow, what are we watching? Like, did I get like the X-rated? I'm like, I guess I see, did I get the Sin City Dick Tracy? What am I watching? So I gave it a 3. I balanced it out. It was ridiculous at some parts, but as an overall, I enjoyed watching all of it. Did it ruin my childhood? Like watching, like I just want to call my mom. Like after this, I'm going to call my mom. Like how the heck? And not only did you let me see it in the theater, she bought it on VHS. Like she bought it. Like
you're going to watch like, the movie more times.
Time. Yeah. And so I just want to know what it was, and it's a little different. Or it could have been me, as I was a difficult child that they probably just wanted me to shut up and. Here's your movie.
Kids who got RoboCop toys, and that movie is like rated R and is disgusting, and they sell toys to kids.
I got RoboCop toys.
See? That movie's way worse. All right, so a 3 for Evan. Didn't ruin his childhood, but he's got questions for his mom. Alex, what did you think?
I agree with Evan in a sense that I think all the characters and actors, I think they had a fun time playing these roles.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to like, and you know, it's weird. It's one of those things that when you grew up at that time, I bet they were like, if there was ever a Dick Tracy movie, I want to be a Dick Tracy movie. Just like some certain actors want to be in Star Wars or Star Trek. Like that was their, you know, their big, like, I bet, like, if you, Nate, if you were an actor, you'd be like, I want to be in a Ninja Turtles movie because I grew up in as a Ninja Turtle fan. Or yes. Evan, you know, with your
It'd
stuff.
It'd be my dream job.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to be in a Batman movie or in a 007 movie. I don't care what it is. But, like, that, those are your franchises that you all grew up in. You want to stamp yourself in it. And I totally understand. I just think this movie misses in every aspect of the story. I couldn't be behind the story. I wasn't crazy with Dick Tracy. The action was fun. I like the action. It's very product of the 90s. I do understand where Warren... I don't think Warren Beatty... I think he should have just been the writer and got us another director and another star to lead in this movie.
Get out of here, Warren
Beatty.
Yeah,
get out of the Warren... I don't think he... I don't... You know what it is? And I, this is... You guys are going to laugh. This is the first Warren Beatty movie I've seen. Like, I've never seen another one. I never seen Bonnie and Clyde, which everyone told me I would like that one a lot. Yeah. I never got to see
those. He didn't direct that. His movies are better when he doesn't direct.
He's never even seen him star in anything.
No, I've never seen him star in anything besides Dick Tracy. Like, that's it. That's this is what I know him for. You say Warren Beatty, I'm like, oh, Dick Tracy. That's it. Like, that's all I watch. So, for me, I'm not a fan of him just due to this movie because this is the only movie I've seen. I will try to see other Warren Beatty movies down the line, maybe. But I will say is, I don't know. I'm with Evan. I'm kind of 50-50 on this because I'm like, I enjoyed it for what it was, the stupid comedy. Actually, I laughed because of Al Pacino's stupid mouth opening and doing his stupid yelling. I gave it a three. I think it's good. I'm never revisiting this again. But I gave it a three. And I think now, it looks stunning for Blu-ray. Very... Very color swapping. And I will say this. If it does come out on 4K, if it does, I would purchase it because I kind of think it will look really good on 4K. Especially like the bad guys. They will look so much detail you can see on their prosthetics. But anyway, I gave it a 3.
Interesting.
Nate gave it a 4.
No.
Well, we're in the middle. What is he going to do? We're right there in the middle.
True. What the heck? Gave it 3s. I'm gonna give it 3.2.
3.5.
Ooh, 3.5. Oh,
3.5. Yeah, whoa. And I did. That's what I had written down before you guys even talked. So we're in the ballpark here. I like it slightly more than you. I agree. This is the one where like you guys are both right on. This is such a weird movie. It's weird. And again, but I find it. It's like it's one of those like fascinatingly weird movies, right? Mm. Like how the heck did they get all these people to star in this movie? With that budget, I mean, yeah, they went over, but it wasn't for the actors. I mean, you're talking about like a who's who of Dustin Hoffman, Paul Sorvino, James Caan. They got a Godfather reunion with James Caan and Al Pacino. Also, Robert De Niro was originally going to play Big Boy Caprice. And then
he could have worked.
It ended up going to Al Pacino.
He should have been Lips.
He should have been somebody in this movie.
He should have been Lips. Perfect. Sucking on clams.
Yeah, like crazy, crazy cast. Visually, I think it's a stunning movie. I do. Yes. I love the matte painting, like the matte painting backgrounds. Very old Hollywood.
Yeah.
Mixed with some newer technology. Like there's the part where they're walking and then it's painting and then the camera pans up and then it's another street where a car's driving on. Like, I think it looks incredible. I agree. I think a 4K would look out of this world. I mean, the colors and all of that is very specific. Like they literally down to the color of the walls, like, it was so meticulous, and that's why I won an Oscar for all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It was like beat red doors.
Amazing. The yellows, the greens, the reds.
His
even
jacket
the scene,
is
yeah,
yellow,
even
yellow.
The scene where there's like a scene where he's like, he's lower and the face is red, and in the other room it's like blue and it's going back and forth. Like, I don't know. I think visually it's stunning. I like the music. This has a lot of original songs in it from Stephen Sondheim, who's like a Broadway guy. I like the music. Madonna, not the best actress. And she's so in this movie. She looks amazing, and she sings good. So the musical scene, she's really good in. But I don't know. It's kind of a mess, but it's like a mess that I like to watch.
You like?
Yeah, it's like a car crash a little bit, right? It's like, can't look away. But I do think there's quality there. And underneath it all, I feel like there's more quality than bad, more good than bad. So I like the movie. I think it's good, but flawed. good and flawed. So a three, a three, a three and a half. Well, we're all in the same league.
I wished in this movie did a little bit of the, I'm a sucker for voiceovers. I mean, me and Nate were talking. Yeah, like yeah. Me and Nate always talked about it, like when we did that Get the Gringo, wasn't that one that Mel Gibson's talking over like while he's doing stuff? Like I like that movie a lot because of that. There's another one that we did. Was it Bruce Willis doing a narration too? It was an action movie that he was talking.
Last Man Standing.
Yes, that one.
That bull
crap. Yeah, that was a bull crap movie.
We got to do Carlito's Way, Al Pacino voiceover. But sorry, boy.
But that's the thing. Like, in that movie, The Last Man Standing, I thought it worked a little bit because the way he sounded was very noir. But right. I kind of liked it.
Yes.
This one, I felt like Dick Tracy needed that.
This had noir elements. So a voiceover would have, a narration at parts would have made sense.
Yeah.
It's a mix of a noir and a mob movie and a comic book. Also, and it's kind of a Batman ripoff. And that was known that Batman came out, made so much money, and they were like, we need that. That's why it's kind of dark. Everything's dark. It's always nighttime. Danny Elfman's score sounds almost exactly the same as Batman. Oh, my God. It's like copy and paste. Is it bad? No. But did I hear it already in Batman? Yes.
Yeah.
So it's very well known that this took a lot from what Batman kind of did. So, you know, it's a mishmash of people and studio and director and like it's crazy. I would love a real comprehensive like documentary on it. I'm just saying. I think it's very interesting. Okay, what's your total points, Evan?
I'm 16.
16. Alex, what do you got?
16.
All right, I'm the high man. 17 and a half. 17 and a half. So just a little bit higher. But yeah, I like the movie. I think it's good, interesting. I don't know why your parents took you to see it. I don't know why my parents took me to see it. I saw it when I was like 4. So there you go. This movie has boobs in it. And it was just like
milk. So Madonna.
I feel like I saw a lot of movies I shouldn't have saw when I was younger. But you know what? That's the good old days. Now it's like, you know.
But I want to know if my parents were upset. Like, did they get hoodwinked?
Oh, after the fact, like, dang it.
Yeah. What's going on? Because don't forget, this is at the time where, like, you really had to trust the ratings.
They couldn't be too upset because they bought it for you on VHS. They were like, no.
Well, you know, even if you ask your mom now, she's going to be like, I don't remember. Yeah.
Tell her to watch it and then ask her.
Do you remember?
Watch
this
movie
scene?
And then I'm going to call you back in 2 hours. I got a question. Why'd you let me watch that and have a birthday party dressed as Dick Tracy and took me and my friends? All right. Very good. This was a fun episode. A lot of information, a lot of great content. Here's what we got coming up. Beverly Hills Cop 2. We'll be reviewing the next one. The only other one I've seen. I've not seen 3 or 4, so that'll be a fun one. Evan will be back for that. And then another movie I've never seen. The only one of these serial type things that I've never seen. Another 90s one starring Alec Baldwin. He is The Shadow. So I only remember seeing commercials for this when I was a kid. I have no idea what it's even about. I'm scared, but I'm excited. So
The Shadow.
We're going to be doing Alec Baldwin. The Shadow and The Phantom might be one of the greatest double features of all. I might watch them back to back, even though we're reviewing them a week apart. Yes. Anyway, that's what we got coming up.
Thanks for hanging out with us on this Action Movie Guys podcast episode. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Geeks and Flicks, for reviews, unboxings, and more. You can also follow us on Instagram at Geeks and Flicks, and make sure to follow the podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. And remember, don't just watch movies, live the action.